Dave Fredrickson, Commissioner of Agriculture, Minnesota.
Dave, let's begin with your thoughts on the Farmers Union organization. You've been heavily involved through the years, and you're here at the 77th Minnesota Farmers Union Convention. What does this group mean to you?
Well, obviously it means a lot. You know, I have warm memories of my time in probably 4 or 5 years of active work with the Farmers Union. You know, I've served as president of our county organization. I've served as president of the Minnesota Farmers Union. I served as president of the National Farmers Union. So I guess I could say I've gone through the chairs of the organization. I grew up with the organization, and it means a lot. And let me say that it's frustrating at times. And one time I was riding in a plane with Senator Wellstone, and I was frustrated with something, and I said, you know, are we relevant as a voice for American agriculture? And he turned to me, and he got this angry look, and he said, you bet you are, and here's why. If you don't show up with the message you bring, no one else will. And I thought, well, that's helpful. I get it. And so we continue to, you know, battle an uphill battle. There's no question about it. Farmers' numbers are less. Membership is strong. You can go to Washington, D.C. with two things in your pocket. You can go with members or you can go with money. I prefer to go with members every time because members vote. And that resonates with members of Congress. And so it's so important to continue to fan the flames and make sure that people join. I've said when I was president here, I don't care what you join. Join corn growers, join the soybean growers, join whatever grower organization you want, join the Farm Bureau, join NFO, join the Farmers Union, but join something because that will be your voice at the state capitol and at our U.S. capitol. And it really is. I served, of course, as a member of the Senate, and when the organizations had their fly-in, or drive-in, rather, here in Minnesota, it made all the difference. They came, they talked. It's all about exchanging ideas and coming up with sound policy.
For any listener that maybe didn't understand the background that you possess, you think about the last 8 years as Ag Commissioner for Minnesota. What has that aspect of your career been like, and what does serving farmers in Minnesota in that capacity mean to you?
Well, it's an opportunity to put all of those life experiences together, and you know that's what we do when we grow older. You assemble a whole pile of experiences. I think it makes for a good legislator because experience is always the best teacher. And you're going to see issues as you move along in that process as a state legislator that you bump into, and it's awfully good when you can say, yes, I know a little about that. I think also bringing those experiences as a farmer, 24 and a half years on the farm in Murdoch, gone through the 80s, so you experience the highs, you experience the lows. And all of those are really important too, and it makes sort of a package. And so you bring those things to the department. We have a statutory authority over a variety of things, but primarily we are all about food safety and food security. We're all about enhancing farm income, and we're all about creating an environment that we're proud to leave behind. Those three points are part of the vision. It was a vision statement that was there when I got there. I liked it, and it continues to be the vision statement for the organization. So as long as you keep those things in mind and make sure that you give equal amounts of attention to all three of them, everything is going to work out just fine.
If you pull from those three points, what were highlights from each one through these last 8 years?
Well, obviously, one of the highlights that I like to talk about from the environment perspective, and you know, it's not environment versus ag or ag versus the environment. It is all wrapped up in a ball. It's together. And so what we tried to do with our Ag Water Quality Certification Program was encourage farmers to join. It's a voluntary program, and the good news is they did. And much of the work that they had done already. And so this gives them an opportunity to be certified under the program and have certainty, which they asked for. We need more certainty. Every time you make a rule and we abide by it, this is the story, then you change the rule. You said, okay, let's see if we can't do something so that doesn't happen anymore. And so we created Ag Water Quality Certification. Today we have in excess of 300,000 acres enrolled in the program. It's a huge success. I bump into people all of the time, said, you know, that program wasn't a bad, the process wasn't hard. We worked through that without any problem, changed a few of our practices, established best management practices on our operation, and you know, we feel really good about it. So I'm pleased about that. We have been in discussion regarding our nitrogen fertilizer rule. That probably will run into a couple of snags along the way, but at the same time, it is not a scary rule at all. Most farm organizations say, yeah, we do that already, or we certainly are not going out and spreading nitrogen product on frozen ground. That's foolish. And, you know, if you want to just throw money away, I suppose you would want to do that, but all farmers won't do that. They're smart. And so, and we do have some problems in some of the wells across Minnesota. Our well testing indicates that of the little more than 20,000 wells we've tested so far, about 9.5-10% of those wells are coming in at in excess of 10 parts per million. And so we need to make sure that we're addressing that and walk it back. From the economic perspective, our role at the department, and I've felt our role, the things that we can do, certainly our Rural Finance Authority and how we've managed to expand that so it's available to more and more people, I think is a positive. I'm pleased about that. Also, our role in searching for new markets. I've traveled a lot. Last week, I spent 4 days in Havana again. Now, that's continuing to build relationships with Havana and Cuba so that at some point in time, if the embargo is either partially lifted or wholly lifted, which the Cuban people want, will be in place, I think, to be able to take advantage of relationships that have been established. I mean, I do business with people I like and people that are friends. And so if you can take that philosophy and try to open some doors in terms of a two-way trade deal, and obviously they love to sell their cigars, and I don't smoke, but a lot of people do, and they love sitting out having a cigar. And so they have product they want to move into this market. They have fruit products that they want to move in. And so trade's a two-way street. I think we can, you know, obviously move that along. Taiwan, another good example, they came up and announced the purchase of $1.5 billion dollars worth of soybean product. Comes from the Midwest grain bin. It's not all Minnesota, but I think about 14-15% of that buy is probably going to be from Minnesota farmers. It's a good buy today. If I were Taiwan, I'd probably be in the market buying grain right now. Again, you know, I went there, I invited them to come, and they came. And so it's the old adage about doing business face-to-face. You know, you go, you invite them, and they come. I've mentioned before to you, I asked them to please consider coming, and they said, well, we'll probably come over, and here's why. Because you were the only one that took the time to come all the way here and invite us. And they did come and had a great time, and we actually took them to a Twins game, and guess what? The Twins won.
In asking you to reflect about the high path avian influenza outbreak, Dave, I'll share with you, I came to Minnesota in 2015, just a couple of months before the first cases hit, and in covering that, a wide range of emotions for me just as a journalist. My heart broke for those producers affected, but at the same time, I was so encouraged to see how everybody came together and worked together. And as you think about what it was like for you and your role at MDA, do you have both fond memories, but also you think about how, in some respects, tragic it was?
It was incredibly tragic for those producers that are growing those birds. I don't care, you know, any animal, you develop a relationship with in terms of the flock or individually, and so it's losing a member of the family. And yeah, the emotional stress and toll was severe on many of those folks. I was saddened by that, obviously. I was encouraged by even our people at the department. Now, we don't have an active role in diagnosis. It is all handled under the Board of Animal Health. But we sign an MOU with the board saying, we'll have your back. And so we committed over 18,000 hours of staff time to make sure that they were out, you know, spraying trucks coming in and out, doing all the paperwork. And so basically asking people to volunteer to go out to Wilmer, spend a week at a time in a five-star hotel, of course, and, you know, leave their family and leave the work that they really needed to be done at their regular day job and go out and help out. And they did. And again, 18,000 hours is not an insignificant amount of time. And then we've ramped up more now in terms of our rapid response approach to animal diseases. We're ready at the department, and I know the board is also ready under best leadership, so that when it hits the next time, we're there. With a rapid response, that is so important. Our diagnostic facilities are among the best. The new diagnostic lab in Wilmer, you know, the old story is a crisis is a horrible thing to waste, and so the legislature was ready to help and be prepared to step in and support the needs of the industry, and they sure did. And so we're doing the same thing.
I could spend an afternoon asking you questions, Dave.
Yeah.
I'm really sad that we're not going to get the opportunity to talk as often when you leave the department. So many things I could still ask you about, but I just want to give you an opportunity here as we close the interview, because there are a lot of people out there that want to talk to you still. Anything else about the last 8 years or the Farmers Union organization? Anything else you want to make sure we touch on?
No, it's you know, it's been great. I mean, my next birthday I turn 75, and I think it's time to retire. My Norwegian Lutheran guilt is getting the best of me. It's like, you know, get away, old man, and let these young people step in, your generation, and lead. And I'm excited to watch this new administration build their team. I am not a candidate. I really need to reintroduce myself to my wife. And so, hi, Kay, you remember me? We've been married for 53 years. You probably don't recall me. So anyway, we're going to do that and probably travel a little bit. We went through a rough patch this summer in that we lost our oldest daughter. And so that changes parents' perspective a lot, and so we're working through that. And thanks to, you know, the help of great friends and family, they help us through that. And so I will always be, you know, grateful for the support of folks at the department and friends all across Minnesota as we worked our way through that. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to retiring, and I have this old boat that I plan to put in the water and head south. So I'm excited about that, taking a boat trip, a solo boat trip on the Mississippi. Hopefully I make it to New Orleans. Looking forward to that.
Dave, it's been an absolute honor and privilege to work with you since I came to Minnesota. I know I speak for so many people in thanking you for the work that you've done, and I hope we can stay in touch. Thank you for your friendship.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you. And to the listeners, we are shaking hands. Thanks, Mark.